According to the Royal Mail, over 800,000 letters are sent by British children at this time of year to Santa's grotto in what is known as Reindeer Land. Now, I have no doubt that many of these 800,000 letters contain the desires of children for what they want for Christmas. Whether it be teddies or transformers, whether it be dolls or dogs, whether it be Barbies or some kind of ball, a football, a rugby ball, or a tennis ball, or something else. Young children writing down what it is they would like. Having on that piece of paper the opportunity to write anything that they would like for Christmas. Now, I imagine that there's not too many this evening writing a Christmas card and sending it to Santa's grotto in Reindeer Land. But yet, if you were to have a piece of paper tonight, and you'd even write it down on that piece of paper, one thing that you wanted above everything else, I wonder what it is that you would write. One thing on a blank piece of paper that you would like. One petition that you get the request. I wonder what it is that you would write. As you and I have entered into Christ's School of Prayer on two occasions, you and I have learned a variety of lessons about what true prayer is. True prayer is that which trusts in God. We not feel it by our much praying or by our learned words that we try and earn favor with God. No, we trust that Christ has purchased everything necessary for us on the cross by his life and by his death. And that he, now risen at the Father's right side, is praying for us. And because of Christ, we receive every spiritual blessing and heavenly place that Christ has purchased for us as we ask for it. We have learned that prayer is about petitioning God, coming before him and praising him, yes, but petitioning him, asking him for things. Last week, we learned that prayer is to pray singly, to pray to God and to no one else. Not to pray to those around you. It is to pray publicly, privately, yes, along just yourself and God, but also to pray publicly with God's people. It is to pray lovingly, coming with your brethren, your sisters in Christ, and being able to pray our Father in that right relationship one with another. It is to pray reverently, because remember the fifth commandment, we are to honor our Father, honor those in authority over us, and so coming before one who is our Father, who loves us, we must also come with that reverence, not with respect. We must also pray purely, remembering that we come to one who is our Father, which art in heaven, that place where there is no sin, that place where the glory of God is seen without measure. Lessons on what it is to pray. We also note a number of encouragements. That prayer does not have to be complicated. And perhaps there's someone here this evening and you would not normally pray. Can I encourage you? Whenever comes the season of prayer, please feel free to call upon God. Prayer does not need to be complicated. Prayer does not need to be long. It can be very simple. This prayer of Matthew 6 takes only a few seconds to declare and to bring before God. We also notice some of other encouragements. That God is our loving Father. Being a Father to us, he loves us. We read that he is one who numbers us, who are his people among his jewels. We are the apple of his eye. He is the one who is his glory. He is our wealthy Father, able tonight to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I ask or think. And while fathers on this earth are limited, yet God, our heavenly Father, is not limited. He is our wise Father, knowing what is right and good for us, directing us in the way that's right and not wrong. He is our unchanging Father, just as he has always been to his people, so he is always for us now and always will be. He is our perfect Father. Many encouragements whenever it comes to the season of prayer. Because Christ wants us to get that right view of God at the very beginning, so that we may approach him aright. And coming now to look at the very first petition of what Christ teaches us to pray, you and I realize, first and foremost, of this lesson to prayer tonight, is that true prayer seeks the glory of God. You look at me, please, at Matthew 6 and verse 9. Christ says, after this manner, not another manner, not your own manner, not your own ideas or imagination, but after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. First petition, hallowed be thy name. What is it to pray? What is true prayer? What is real prayer? It is that which seeks the glory of God, that his name is hallowed. Notice with me that in the other five petitions that follow, this petition comes first. Before you and I are ever taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our debts. Before we are ever taught to pray these things as God's people, you and I are taught that the first thing we are to seek, the ultimate thing we are to seek, that if we were to have a piece of paper written before us tonight and we were to have one petition, one request, and only one, it is to be this, that God's name is hallowed. God's name is exalted. God's name is honored. And in fact, every other petition that we pray for must have this first petition as its motivation. In other words, if you and I are ever to pray, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Give me today what I need. We are not to pray that simply so our belly could be full, so that you and I can have a comfortable life. No, we must pray with this one motivation, that God's name is hallowed, that he is declared to be the faithful God. Whenever you and I come to pray, Lord, forgive us our debts, or come to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, it's not so that you and I can simply have an easy life, a comfortable journey on our way to glory. No, we must pray these things with the one desire, the one motivation, that God and everything is hallowed and honored. The Jewish converts, they complained that their prayers were not being heard. The Apostle James came along and he rebuked him in James chapter 4 verse 3, for he said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. They were praying perhaps for good things and right things, but they were praying with the wrong motivation. They were asking God for things that were for their own benefit, their own advancement and their own glory, and not the glory and the honor of the living and true God. Let me ask you this evening as I speak to myself. Whenever you and I pray, do we first of all pray for what is right? What we know to be in agreement to God's will? And then also, do we pray with the right motivation? Many of us have been brought up in Christian homes, or indeed have been Christians for many years. And you and I know good things to pray for. You and I can rhyme those things off. Pray for our family, pray for our friends, pray for those that are lost, pray for those that are saved, that will go on with God. But let me ask you tonight, as I ask myself, do we pray with the right motivation? Do we pray, Lord, save that loved one, because, Lord, I want your name hallowed? The minute they curse your name, they care not for you, they blaspheme you, they neglect you, and the gospel that there is we find in Christ. They trample in the blood of Christ. Father, for your glory and for your honor, save my loved one. Turn them from sin unto Christ, that you will be praised. Is that our motivation? Whenever we pray for those who are loved ones, pray perhaps for our children, pray perhaps for our friends, pray for others in the church, that they will go on with God, do we pray it for their own good primarily, or do we pray it for God's glory? What does Christ teach us in his school of prayer? What is his master class to you and to me tonight? It is this, that in everything that we pray, everything that's good, everything that's right, everything that is in agreement to his will, it is this, that his Father's name is hallowed and lifted up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, you and I are told that whether we're eating or whether we're drinking, we are to do all to the glory of God. Everything. The famous musician and composer Bach said these words, all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub. He headed his compositions Soli de Gratia, which means to God alone be the glory. To God alone be the praise. Whenever it comes to prayer, just like any music that is not composed or sang or enjoyed for the glory of God, it's simply but the devilish hubbub. So it is whenever it comes to prayer. If it's not for the glory of God, who is it for the glory of? If it's not for the worship of God, whose worship is it of? Is it for the worship of ourselves? We'll be seen, we'll be remembered. Or indeed, is it for the worship of something else? More important than your need and mine, more important than your comfort and mine, more important than your ease and my ease is this, the glory of God. You think about those who were martyred for the faith. Roland Taylor, Bishop Ridley, John Bradford, Patrick Hamilton, William Tyndale. What was it that enabled these men to refuse to recant their faith and to go to the stake to be burned? It was this. The glory of God is their chief aim. In Psalm 69 and verse 7, the psalmist said to the Lord, "For thy sake I have borne reproach." You and I know well the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22. Whenever one came to Christ, the lawyer, and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And while the second commandment is given, which is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, yet the first commandment alone is described as the great commandment and the first commandment. The only way you and I can truly love our neighbor is if we love God above everything else. The only way you and I can truly pray in love for our neighbor is if we truly pray for God to be hallowed in their lives. In Mark chapter 10, verse 51, the Lord Jesus Christ came and he spoke to Bartimaeus, the blind man, and said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he gave, as it were, blind Bartimaeus a blank piece of paper that he could write his one petition, his one request on. And Christ comes to you and I tonight and he asks us that one petition, "What do you want? What do you want?" If you could have anything this Christmas, if you could have anything tonight, whenever it comes the season of prayer, if you could have one thing to pray for, just one, what would that one thing be? True prayer is whenever it commences and has its entire foundation, "Hallowed be thy name." In that way, it's very similar to the Ten Commandments. What's the first commandment? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." What is the foundational commandment upon which every other following commandment is based? It is this, that God is to be our God. God is to be our love. God is to be our joy. God is to be our peace. God is to be our God. It's interesting that if you and I look at the life of Christ revealed in the gospel records, you and I will find that Christ is one who prayed like this. In John chapter 12, verse 28, he prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." In John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus Christ prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." What was Christ's one petition? It was this, "Father, glorify thy name." Perhaps you're asking the question tonight, why should this be our chief end in life? Why should this be the focus and the foundation of our prayers? Let me give you three very simple reasons. First of all, the glory of God is the purpose of our existence. Just as God made the stars to give light, God made the flowers to be beautiful, God made the seeds in the ground to be fruitful, so God has made you and I to hallow his name. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. One reason why we are to pray, "Father, hallowed be thy name," is because of the purpose of our existence. That's why we're here. That's why we have breath this very day. It is that we will hallow God's name. Another reason is the preciousness of God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it is declared, "Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and praise." Why? "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure," "they were and are created." Who is the most excellent in all this earth? Who alone is the one that's clothed with honor and with majesty? Who is the one who's brighter than the midday sun? And in him are all the shining perfections of holiness, wisdom, and mercy. It's God alone. It's God alone. God alone is glorious. As I look at you this evening, I don't see any glory emanating from you in relation to any glory of your own self. And there's none emanating from me. Whenever Jesus Christ was on this earth, and he stood before the people there, the Garden of Gethsemane, before the Roman soldiers, and they said that they were looking for Christ, and Christ turned around and declared, "I am the name for Jehovah, I am." They stood back in awe. The glory of Christ was revealed. If I was declared that, none of you would fall back. Why? Because there's no glory in me. There's no glory in you.
The only one who is glorious.
The only one who's worthy of lifting up is God himself.
And a third reason why you and I are to pray, hallowed be thy name, is the permanence of this petition. I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but you go through the other petitions in this Lord's Prayer. You think about the second petition, to pray, Father, thy kingdom come. Or to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth. Or indeed, give us this day our daily bread, or forgive us our debts, or lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Every one of those prayers is related to time and time alone. But this other prayer, the first prayer, is related to time as well as eternity. It's the only prayer that lasts into eternity. Because in eternity we don't need to pray to lead us not into temptation. We are perfected. We don't need to pray, give us our day, our daily bread, because we're glorified. We need to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, because it's come already. This is the one petition that's permanent. Hallowed be thy name. I ask you, this evening and the past week, even in your prayers today, how often have you prayed?
With this focus, with this emphasis in your prayers, with this focus on your own heart and mind, I am praying this, Father, for thy glory and thy glory alone. Thou art the one who's precious. Thou art the one who's worthy. Thou art the one who's beautiful and glorious. Hallow thine own name, Lord.
It's not true that you and I can so easily just slip into the routine of praying for this and praying for that, praying for this part of God's church, praying for this missionary, praying for that friend, praying for that loved one, but not actually having our mind upon the glory of God. Not actually beginning our prayers thinking, Father, the one who's in heaven, the one who's transcendent, far above us. You see, the first thing you and I learn tonight is that true prayer seeks the glory of God. That's the first lesson. I wonder how many of our prayers are true prayers. Seek the glory of God. Notice with me the second lesson this evening, that is that true prayer seeks the glory of all of God. Seeks the glory of all of God. If you look at me, please, again at Matthew 6, verse 9, Christ said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Think about that term, name. In Scripture, you and I are given many different names regarding the Lord. For example, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, the one who's mighty, the one who is the creator, who has all power in heaven and on earth. You and I think of many other names that are given. Jehovah, the one who is the I Am. And yet you think of the many other titles that are associated with these two. Such as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided. Jehovah Mekadishken, the Lord is our sanctifier. Jehovah Ruhai, the one who is our shepherd. All the names of God reveal to you and I who God himself is.
So what does it really mean to pray, Father, may thy name be hallowed? It is simply, Father, may you be hallowed. May you be honored.
For example, the psalmist said in Psalm number 8, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And the psalmist is not referring there to one particular title. How majestic is thy name, Jehovah? How majestic is thy name, Elohim? How majestic is thy name, El Elyon? No, it's how majestic art thou, O Lord, in all the earth. Or indeed, if you want to turn to me, please, to Psalm 9. Psalm number 9. We read in verse 10 regarding the Lord. The psalmist says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Whenever you and I know the character of God, who God himself is, then you and I will trust him because we'll see that he's trustworthy. He's righteous. He's good. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's faithful. What does it mean to trust in the name of God? It is to trust in God himself because the name of God reveals God and all that he is. Or indeed in Isaiah, if you want to turn there, Isaiah Chapter 50. Verse 10.
Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Whenever you're going through darkness, you don't see a light. What are we to do? We're to trust in the name of God. We read another part of Scripture that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. What does that mean? It means to run into the character, the attributes, the reality of who God is.
Whenever you and I bring this reality back, the name of the Lord is indeed his entire essence, all of his attributes. You and I come back now to Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 9, and you and I will read that Christ teaching us to pray, he does not say, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Jehovah Jireh. Hallowed be thy name, Jehovah Rohi. Hallowed be thy name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. No. He simply, hallowed be thy name, all of thy name, every aspect of thy character, every aspect of thy attributes, hallowed be the entirety of thy person, of thy essence. You and I are not simply to exalt and to lift up the name of God who is Almighty, or the name of God who is our Shepherd, or the name of God who is our peace, the name of God who is our righteousness, the name of God who is our provision. You and I are to exalt and highlight and lift up the name of God and all that he is. Speaking to the elders in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, that I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The Apostle Paul simply said, I'm not just preaching to you from one or two books in the Bible or four or five books in the Bible or one part of the Bible. I am preaching to you the entire counsel of God, every aspect of God's counsel from beginning to end. Why? Because only whenever you look at the entirety of the revelation of God will you see the entirety of God himself. And so it is when we come to pray. You and I can praise God for his mercy, and that is important and that is good. And I can praise God for the forgiveness that he gives. But to praise God for that and that alone is not enough. We are to read the entirety of Scripture, and seeing the entirety of God in the entirety of Scripture, we are then to praise the entirety of God's. And the possession that the entirety of who he is will be seen. As in preaching, so in prayer. We're to pray, Lord, may every aspect of thee be exalted and be honored. One practical way in which you and I can do this is as you and I read God's word day by day, you and I stop to ask ourselves the question, as we are taught in the Shorter Catechism, that every part of Scripture is to teach us something regarding God. But whenever we see what that is, you and I then pray, Lord, hallowed be thy name. This aspect of thee that I have just seen in thy word, Lord, may that part of thee be hallowed and be lifted up. You and I see here two very simple and straightforward lessons of true prayer. It's not to seek merely the good of men, it is that. It's not merely to seek the good of those whom you love, it is that. It's not merely to seek your own good, it is that. But foundationally and centrally, it is to seek the glory of God. And all the glory of all of God. And I want to bring to you tonight not only some lessons, but as I did last week, to bring to you a number of encouragements. And I trust that they will be encouragements to you. Because whenever you and I are taught by Christ what the will of God is to pray for, you and I can then be encouraged. Because in 1 John chapter 5, in the verse 14, we are told that we have this confidence that we ask anything according to the will of God, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, then we have the petitions that we desire of him. So let me give you a number of encouragements. The first is this, and that is in this petition where we are taught to pray by Christ, hallowed be thy name, you and I have here a promise for an increased knowledge of God. How can you and I hallow and lift up and exalt and pray for any attribute, any aspect of the name of God, unless we know that aspect? We know that attribute. We see it in its beauty. How can someone go and describe the beautiful Mourne Mountains if they have never seen them or experienced them? How can someone go and explain to someone else the delicious taste of a pomegranate, the delicious taste of ripe red grapes, unless they have tasted them? So it is this evening, you and I cannot pray, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy righteousness, thy peace, thy goodness, thy grace, thy mercy, thy love, unless you and I experienced it and we're growing in the knowledge of it. Tonight, do you want to increase in your knowledge of the Lord?
in who he is and what he is? Do you want to grow tonight in a greater knowledge of the love of God?
Today the Lord gave an opportunity to speak to a man in hospital who is not saved. And they go through John 3:16 with him very simply. That there we have the greatest lover, and then we have the greatest love, that God himself without limit gave his only begotten Son to the world. And whenever I was thinking about then the meeting for tonight, that is a love that you and I do not yet comprehend. And yet, for everyone who's saved tonight, you and I can say that that love of God has thrilled our hearts on occasions. Perhaps you and I can hear of it and read John 3:16 and remain untouched. Yes, I know God loves me. I know God's great. But let me ask you, do you really desire to want to know more of the love of God? Then be encouraged because you have a promise here. Christ teaches to pray, Father, hallowed be thy name. How can God's name be hallowed unless we know his attributes? Do you want to increase your knowledge of the love of God? Do you want to increase your knowledge of the wisdom of God, the goodness of God to you? Because truly God is good to Israel, his people. Then you can be encouraged now. Here's a promise for you. God wants his name hallowed. And in order for that to occur, you must know it. So pray, Lord, as I read thy word day by day, reveal thyself to me. There's a promise here for an increased knowledge of God. There's another promise here for an increased faith in God. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, you and I read of one who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Whenever this person was strong in their faith, resting in God, like the righteous one running into the name of God who is a strong tower, leaning on him, then they gave glory to God. Because he revealed that God was trustworthy. One way that you and I dishonor God is whenever we do not trust him. Because our unbelief stains his name. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, we read, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Not one who's truthful, not one who's trustworthy, but who's made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. How can you and I honour God and lift up God and hallow the name of God unless we are convinced of who God is? Unless we have faith in the reality that that is true and I can lean upon it and rest upon it? We must have faith. Can I ask you tonight, do you want a greater faith? That you may bring honour to God, that you may lean upon him. The promises he's given you regarding your loved ones, the promises he's given you regarding your service, the promises he's given you regarding prayer itself. That you will lean heavily upon it, whether you see it in your circumstances around you or not. Do you want an increase in faith? Be encouraged tonight. Because before we can ever hallow the name of God, we need that increase in faith. And you say, Lord, give me that increase in faith for thy glory. And a third promise we have here as a means of encouragement is a promise for increased love of God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, if you want to turn with me there to it. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. The Apostle John says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. The common word for honor in the New Testament indicates that which is a treasure, that which is precious. If you and I are to honour the Lord, as we are told here in Revelation chapter 19, and as we are taught in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 9, or Luke chapter 11, and indeed many other passages, if we are to honour the Lord, we must love the Lord. He must be precious to us. Do you ever feel tonight that your heart is cool? Do you ever feel tonight that whenever you hear the gospel afresh, whether it be in the Lord's day, whether it be in your own readings, whether it be in a gospel tract that you're given, whether it be simply you're talking with somebody else and you're seeking to witness to them about the things of God, whether it be a believer, whether it be an unbeliever, and yet you feel as you speak about the things of God that it's just simply words going off your tongue like water off a duck's back. There's no emotion, there's no passion, there's no depth of feeling, and you just feel that you're just going through the motions. And your heart's desire tonight is that God's name is hallowed by you having a true, genuine, great love for him. Well, then be encouraged.
Because in order to hallow the name of God, which is what we are to pray for, we must have that love of God, to see him as precious, our treasure, above everything else.
And if God is the one who tells you what his will is, surely he'll be the one who'll give you the ability to do that. I promise here, for an increased knowledge of God, an increased faith in God, an increased love of God, but also a fourth promise, an increased likeness to God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we're told that we who are God's people are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. An unholy life is not one that brings honour to God. For example, the Apostle Paul said that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. The people to whom Paul was writing, he said that the name of God is blasphemed. By you who profess his name, God's name is blasphemed through you because of your unholy, ungodly lifestyle. You see, it's a holy life, not an unholy, that honours and hallows the name of God. And I ask you this evening, do you long to be more temperate? To be more meek? That your strength is not used for yourself to defend yourself, but it's entirely used for God and his glory? Do you long to be more patient, not short-tempered? Long to be more kind, not harsh, more thoughtful, and more good, and not negligent, more peaceful? And you have a promise here this evening. Because Christ wants you and I to pray, Father, hallowed be thy name. And in order for us to hallow the name of God, we need to be made more like God. To see him as our treasure, yes. To know him in his beauty, yes. And to have faith in all that he is, yes. What encouragements there are to pray this evening. God wants to give us these things. Quite often in life, you and I do not know what we ought to pray for. Maybe there's a person who's sick and unwell. And you and I, we do not know whether it's time to pray the Lord will heal them, or time to pray the Lord will take them if they're his. Sometimes you just don't know what to pray for. But there's one thing you and I can always be assured of. We're always to pray, Father, hallowed be thy name. Or maybe there's someone who is a loved one tonight, and in your heart you're saying, Lord, I just don't know what to do. Well, there's one thing you can pray. Father, may thy name be hallowed in this situation. Father, if it's your will to receive the greatest glory and the greatest honour through instantaneously, miraculously making them better, then Lord, do that. But Lord, if you're going to receive greater glory and honour through gradually, slowly, through science and medication to make them better, then Lord, do that. Or Father, if it's going to be to your greatest glory and honour to take them home to with thyself, giving them a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of death, then Father, do that. In all circumstances of life, you and I can pray, Father, that thy name is hallowed, and it gives you and I a confidence in prayer. That whatever we pray to the glory of God, that it will be answered. It will be answered. You see, our chief aim in every situation is not our comfort, it's not our aim, it is not our health, it is that God's name is glorified. Let me conclude this evening. We've looked at two main lessons from this petition. We've looked at four encouragements. Let me just finish tonight by looking at some challenges. You and I have often heard the phrase to put feet to your prayers. You and I may know the will of God, and you and I are taught by Christ to pray for this aspect of the will of God because we cannot do it ourselves. That's why we need to pray. If we could do it ourselves, Christ would not teach us to pray regarding it because we would be able to have our own strength to do it. No, we need to pray for the strength that God's name is hallowed in our lives and in the lives of others. But praying for it, you and I can then go out and put feet to our prayers to strive that God's name is hallowed in our lives as well as the lives of others. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we're told that we are to set apart the Lord in our hearts. We're to do this ourselves. Put feet to our prayers. To pray, Father, hallowed be thy name. And then to go out and then to do it. How do we do that? How do we hallow the name of God? Notice with me briefly a number of things. We hallow the name of God in our lives by our profession. We take upon us the name of God. We declare to people that we are God's. You and I know well the verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 and following. But where the Lord says of my people, the people that belong to me, they humble themselves, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. But I just simply want to point to you tonight the idea of my people, the people who are called by my name. I wonder you and I, those that declare to others that we are God's, that we are His. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And with our bodies we are to glorify and lift up the name of God. The Apostle Paul said, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. It's not my own talent. It's not my own gifts. It's not my own working. It's not my own power. It's not my own training. It's not my own putting effort and effort and effort into it. It's simply by the grace of God I am what I am. He was God's. I wonder you and I that declare to other people that we are God's. We hallow the name of God by our profession. We hallow the name of God by our practice. I've already alluded to this, and so I'll not go into it in any great depth. But Romans chapter 2, verse 24, remember, the Apostle Paul said to the Jews, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. How does a son on this earth hallow the name of his earthly father? How does he honor the name of his earthly father? How does he respect him? How does he bring honor to the household? By being obedient. By being good. Not disobedient. Not cheeky. Not unkind. Not unruly. Not rebellious. By being obedient. By being loving. How do we hallow the name of our Heavenly Father? By being holy. We honor the Lord by our profession. We honor the Lord by our practice. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 20 we read, the Apostle Paul's desire was that Christ himself would be magnified in his body. Whether it be by life, or whether it be by death. Paul's aim was not that he would live a long life. It's simply that whether it is by living or by dying, simply Christ be magnified. That's all that mattered. I wonder you and I that seek to and strive in our day, but today, that God's hallowed, that we bring honour to our Father, and not disrepute to his name and to his family. One very practical way in which you and I do this is on the Lord's Day. You and I are commanded in the fourth commandment, where God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The idea is put a fence around my day. Whenever you and I looked at Samuel 7, in the verse 2, where we're told that God loveth the gates of Zion more than all the private dwellings of Jacob, you and I saw that regarding the Lord's Day, regarding public worship, regarding the meeting of God's people together to praise the Lord, that God is more glorified on this, in public worship, in His day, than anything else in this world. Anything else you and I ever do. More important than our health. More important than our comfort. More important than our ease. I understand some people cannot come to worship God in His day, but if you and I can, we bring more glory to God in His day than in anything else. Is it not worth to glorify the name of God? You and I glorify the name of God by our profession, by our practice, and by our praise. Do we not read in the Psalms, in Psalm 50 verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifies him. Whenever Job, God's servant, lost his 10 children in one day, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. His wife turned against him, his friends turned against him, and there he was all alone in the world. And yet he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not bring glory to the name of God. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And lastly, do we not bring glory to the Lord by preaching and proclaiming his name? The word hallowed carries the thought of to make known. If you turn to me, please, Ezekiel chapter 38, the last reference I ask you to turn to. Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel 38 and verse 23. The Lord declares, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify. That's the same word for holy. And sanctify myself. And how will he do it? And I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. What does it mean to pray, Father, hallowed be thy name? It is to pray that he is known. Known among his people in all his glory and all his beauty, but be known among the unbelievers. How can you and I practically seek the glory of the Lord? To go out and to make his name known. To make his name known among our neighbours. To make his name known among our friends. To make his name known among this area. We must advance in the work of God, even in the midst of COVID-19. It's not a time to lie down. It's not a time to sit back. I couldn't help but think on Sunday night whenever I went home that while not thinking of anybody particularly, but just in general, you think about the prophet Isaiah. Hosea came to the people of God, and they had a commission from God that the temple of the Lord be built. And they were dwelling in their sealed houses, and they were fixing up their houses and everything else. Nothing wrong with that. But they said, the time is not yet. The time is not yet that the house of God should be built. The time is now that the house of God should be built. Even in the midst of COVID-19, we are to advance, to hallow the name of God, to make him known in this area, in the lives of our families, in the lives of those in this world. I wonder, is your prayer, Father, hallowed be thy name. Regardless of comfort, regardless of health, regardless of ease, that in all things, by living or by dying, Christ is magnified. Is that your heart? Is that my heart? If it's not, may the Lord give us grace tonight to repent of our sins and to cry out, Lord, hallowed be thy name in my life. Hallowed be thy name in the lives of those around me. For Lord, you're worthy. We're only on this earth for one reason, that you're hallowed. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And praise God, the Father wills it. God the Son's purchased it. God the Holy Spirit will apply it, if only we ask. Come to the Lord in a word of prayer. Please do feel free this evening, as I've already mentioned, to pray, to call upon God. We noticed a number of weeks ago now that the only way the blessing of God will come, the only instrument that God has given for us to bring down the blessing of God, is prayer. It's nothing else. It's prayer. Let us not be afraid to pray for the blessing of God to come. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, I want to thank thee for thy precious word. Lord, on occasions it can come with a sharpness. But Father, I want to thank thee that thou art one who only chastises those whom you love, those whom you care about. Father, I want to thank thee for each one that's gathered out here tonight. Lord, there are those who would love to be here but are not able to. And Father, I pray that you would be pleased to give us grace this evening. And even those that are in their homes now by themselves and able to set aside time to pray. Father, give us grace, give us help to pray. Lord, it's simple just to go through the motions of a season of prayer, to let other people to pray, or simply to rhyme off the things we normally pray for. But Father, my heart's desire tonight is that you'll be hallowed. Father, John the Baptist is one who was not afraid of those around him. Not afraid of what they thought, not afraid of what they said. He had that one focus, that thy name be hallowed. That Christ increase and he decrease. That Christ would be seen and that he would not be seen. Father, I pray tonight that you will be seen. Everything, Father, that is of thee this evening, that it will be remembered. Anything that is of man, Father, may be forgotten. May it best be banished from our minds, banished from our hearts. But Father, what is of thee, may it last. Father, help us to see tonight thee in thy glory, thee in thy beauty, Thee, Father, in all of thy majesty. Give us that faith to see it, Lord. Give us that love for thee, that thou wilt be the most precious treasure that we have in this earth. More precious than our own health, more precious than our own family. Thou art more precious than anything in this earth. And Father, that we will desire that we in our own lives will be purified, that will bring honour to thee among those whom we walk. That the lives of thy people will bring honour to thee among the lives in which they walk. And Father, the lost will come to know Christ. Lord, we beg of you, people are on their way to hell. People, Father, if they go to hell, they will curse thy name for all eternity. And thou wilt receive glory even in that, because thou wilt reveal thyself to be just. But Father, I also plead with thee. For thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their way and live. I pray, Father, that you would save the lost. That they would praise thy name now and for eternity. That they would love thy name. It'd be like the man, as it were, that came in with the white righteous robe covering him. And seeing thy goodness and grace for all eternity, praise thee. Praise thy beloved Son who purchased him, and the Holy Spirit who wrought the work in him. O Father, come. Hallow thine own name, we pray. In the saving of the lost, in the sanctifying of thy people, in the going on of us who are thy people, the advancing, Lord, give us grace, give us wisdom. How we need wisdom. As a session, as a committee, as a denomination, as a presbytery, we need wisdom. Give us all wisdom, we pray. Lead us on for thee, we ask it. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.